We have been looking together in a series on God extending His mercy through the healings of Jesus as we head into the Easter time. It just felt like that the Lord had laid that kind of series on our heart and mind. This morning, I'd like for you to look with me in Luke chapter 13. Luke, who's the historian and the medical doctor, talks to us about a healing that took place of a crippled lady. And it was done on the Sabbath. Stand together with me, please. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who has been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days to work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." I don't want to go to that synagogue. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for 18 years long, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. As we've come out of 2015 and get into 2016, many of you, like me, have had the opportunity to go see doctors during the year or dentists. And you've had the opportunity to fill out paperwork with insurance companies, answer questions that they've asked you about different things that happened to you. I got one as I had gotten a shot in my spine late in the year, and there's a letter that came from the insurance company wanting to know if it was as a result of an injury or an accident. And what was the date of the accident, you know. And we have other insurance. So got that thing filled out to send back to answer their questions. And it reminded me of an illustration that I'd used in a previous sermon that I thought fit right here. And I found that, and here it is. You might remember this. The bricklayer's insurance claim. "Dear sirs, I'm writing in response to your request for additional information. In block 3 of the accident form, I put trying to do the job alone as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the date of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I had completed my work, I found that there were 500 pounds of bricks that were left over. Rather than carry the bricks down hand by hand, one at a time, I decided to lower them down in the barrel and using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building on the 6th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of all the 500 pounds of brick. You will note in box 11 on the accident report that I weigh 135 pounds. But I was surprised at suddenly being jerked off the ground, and suddenly I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded up at a very rapid rate up the side of the building, and in the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel that was coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep in the pulley. Fortunately, at that time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of all my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground. The bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of all the weight of the bricks, the barrel then weighed approximately 50 pounds. Again, I refer you to my weight in box 11, 135 pounds. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the third floor again, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the two fractured ankles, the lacerations on my legs and lower body area. The encounter with the barrel slowed me down enough to lessen my injuries when I fell on the pile of bricks. And fortunately, only three vertebrae were cracked at that time. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, literally unable to stand it and bear it, and watching the empty barrel six stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. The empty barrel weighing more than the rope, so it came down on top of me and it broke both of my legs. I hope I've furnished the information that you have requested. Source unknown. Ouch. You ever felt like that? Maybe this morning, here in our midst, just like in Jesus' day, there are people here this morning that are living wounded lives. You come in, you smile, but you've got such a weight and a burden on you that you're shackled and burdened down to the point of distraction and to the point of being so burdened over that you're bent over with the load that you're carrying. Even though we experience hurts in life, and sometimes those hurts run very, very deep, we don't have to lose hope. And we sure don't want to let go of the rope that's Jesus Christ. If you're hurting this morning, maybe this passage and this message is for you. Jesus cares about those that are hurting. He cares about what we're going through. And there truly is healing in the presence of the Lord. Notice that he cares for hurting people. Notice he's powerful enough to heal hurting people. And notice that he explains that it's Satan, not God, that's the reason for all the hurt and is the cause for all the hurt. Look again, if you would, at the woman's condition, as it says in verse 11. It says that she was crippled and bent over and could not straighten up, and she had been this way for 18 years. In those 18 years, she had known nothing but misery and defeat and frustration. But she was going to be set free. And in a moment, in an instant of time, praise the Lord. Jesus is still in the business of touching and healing hurts in our lives. It's almost like through the example of this parable that Jesus is saying, you've had this for 18 years, that's enough. You don't need to carry it anymore. Today you're going to be set free. She did have a debilitating plight. She was burdened down with the load that had so racked her body that she was bent over and she couldn't straighten up. It had become very debilitating and it was distracting, and to the point that it probably consumed all of her life. But she had something, I think, that was the smartest thing that she did. She heard that Jesus was passing by, and she went to the synagogue where he was. Oh, that he would see me. Oh, that he would notice me. Much the same way as we saw in the account of Zacchaeus last week when he climbed up the juniper tree. Oh, that I could see Jesus, and that Jesus could see me. You see, there was nothing that she could really do to cure her illness. There was nothing that she could do to straighten out her life. There was nothing that she could do to take the burden away from her. She could not handle it on her own. But she'd heard about Jesus and what he had done for others. Just maybe he would do that for her. And if he did it for her, just maybe he'd do that for you or for me. She longed to be free. And in her longing to be free, she did what I think is the smartest thing that anybody could do. She made her way to where Jesus was. We're tempted at times to settle in and want to hide and be just loaded down with what we're going through and try to bear the burden ourselves. But this lady said, no, I've got to be where Jesus is. So she goes to the synagogue, and there she finds Jesus. And guess what? In the midst of all of that crowd in the synagogue, Jesus noticed her and her need. He's in the noticing, healing business. In the midst of the crowd of the world that you and I live in, he knows right where you and I are. He knows right what we're going through. He knows how to meet us at our point of need. This lady got up and made her way towards him. Jesus saw and called out to her. And then he reached and put those mighty big hands on her. And Scripture tells us that from her burden, she straightened up. He took the burden away. He took the load away. He brought strength back into her body and bones that had not been there and helped to straighten up things. It's not to stretch to say that he freed her from what had been weighing her down all of those 18 years. She had gone to see Jesus. Smart, smart lady. Oh, Satan would have wanted to keep her away, but she says, no, I'm not going to let him keep me away from the Lord. I'm not going to let him keep me away from this chance. I want to see Jesus. Folks, when you go looking for him, he's there. And he's been there all the time. He wants to heal us. He wants to touch us. He wants to come alongside us in those times of our life that we're so weighted down that we don't know what to do. And Jesus cares more about us than he does what a crowd might think. I think it's interesting, and it's really sad, that leaders of a synagogue, quote-unquote church folk, would get upset that Jesus would break an Old Testament law by performing healing on the Sabbath. Who in their right mind would put a law in that you can't heal on the Sabbath? But that was a law. It was one that was debated and adopted, and they couldn't do any kind of work on the Sabbath. And here it was, they'd find themselves that some would do, they would do certain things, but they didn't want anybody else to know about it, and they'd show up and could kind of look around and could cast fingers and aspiration or dispersions on others. That's not the right word either. Just look out at one another and almost say, hey, I'm okay, but you got problems. I'm okay, but you're a sinner. What I've done in secret and nobody knows about it, but what you've done, we're going to let everyone know. They could kind of look holy and righteous and religious and not anyone know that they'd untied their donkey and given it water that morning before they came to church. And here a worshiper comes and finds healing. And rather than rejoicing that Jesus had healed the lady of her disease, they immediately wanted to squabble to say this was wrong because he did it on the wrong day. Well, I got to tell you something. There's no wrong day when healing comes. There's no wrong day when Jesus touches a life. There's no wrong day when Jesus straightens out bent over and broken, burdened situations. What is wrong is when people try to say, Lord, you can't do that. Or, Lord, you didn't do it the way that I had it all figured out. Guess what? God does not need us to be involved in management. He's in management. I'm in sales. We're all in obedience. Lord, may we learn from you. And see that you care about needs more than what you may care about acceptable norms. God comes in to each of our situations, each of our lives, when we may be in unacceptable patterns of behavior. And guess what? He reaches right down into what cesspool we might be living in, what situation may have gotten us burdened under, what someone else might have done to just drop load after load on top of us that we can't handle it all. Jesus comes in to meet us right at our point of need, and he touches us and lifts us up. Why? Because he loves us. The greatest law of all is the law of his love, and he doesn't break the law of his love because he cares about your life and mine. He cared about this lady's life. But guess what? Please don't forget, he cared about all the ones in the synagogue. He wanted them to understand that the most important thing was them to give their lives to the Lord, that he could lift their load, straighten out burdens that they were carrying. Why? Because he loved them. This lady came to him with a sense of expectation and hopefully and with much faith. And that's really still the way that we come to the Lord. With our burdens and things that we don't have figured out and we don't know the answer to, and we're really weighted down by and we're carrying a load, we don't have to carry it on our own. We come to him with hopefulness and with anticipation and faith. And it's in that faith believing that we come to Jesus. He sees us and calls out to us and provides the healing touch that we need. Whether you're an individual, whether you're a part of a couple and a family, whether it's your greater family or the church, or whether you're a part of a community that needs the Lord and our community needs the Lord, Jesus is still looking to see us when we're broken down to bring his healing touch to us. Amen. Lord, I come to you, I call out to you. And just as that lady looked to you for healing, we look to you for healing. She knew that his touch was going to be the touch that was going to be the answer for his life. No one else had been able to make a difference in her life, but Jesus would. Bill Gaither wrote a little testimony song several years ago that includes these words: shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hands of Jesus touched me, and I've never been the same. Oh, Jesus, touch us once again. He touched a blind man and the blind man could see. He touched a deaf man and the deaf man could hear. He touched a boy and was raised up. That little boy was raised up to life. He touched a leper and the leper was made clean. Everything Jesus did on this earth, he demonstrated how much that he loves us. And he has more power over us and can take care of what weights us down if we'll just come and seek him. Child of God, this morning, you may be carrying a load that's just, I don't know what the load is. It might be financial, it might be relational, it might be a prayer burden for someone's soul. It might be a health situation that you don't have the answer to. He wants to touch you this morning. But you got to go looking for him and come to him. And he'll see you and he'll call out to you. And he'll lay his hands on you in that situation. And suddenly, instead of finding yourself all bent over and broken with the burden, he'll touch you and you'll stand tall in your spirit because the healing touch of the love of the Lord has come on your life. Only God can take us from brokenness to boldness, from burden to blessing, from blight to seeing his eyes, from crippled to standing tall, from broken in our spirit to healed and put together by him. This lady that was in bondage was now free. Oh, look what Jesus did for me. Just the fact that she stood straight and tall and walked out of the synagogue that day back into her life gave testimony of what God had done and the power of Jesus in her life. just as he had laid his hands on her, and suddenly she was standing tall, giving glory to God. Everyone that she came in contact with said, "Do you know what's happened to Sister So-and-so? Wow! Wow! Wow!" And I think that that right there, excuse me, more than offset any grumbling that a regular old church attender who had maybe forgotten what it was like for God to touch their lives could possibly squabble about. Aren't you so glad He loves you and me, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame? Then the hands of Jesus touched me, and I'm no longer the same. In John 6:37, it says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I in no means will cast out. When you come to Him, He won't turn you away." And Jesus can handle it when folks start complaining of the change that's taken place in your life. Jesus can handle it when the burden's been turned into a blessing. And Jesus can handle it to touch callous hearts and cause them to melt with the warmth of His love for them. Notice, Jesus notices and cares about the needs. Jesus alone has the power to heal hurting people. Jesus also explains that it's Satan, not God, who causes hurting people. He's here to give healing touch this morning to you and you and you and me. The question is, will we come to Him and let Him touch us? Stand together with me, please.